Hello, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. In this program, Russia's slowing economy.
What's very curious about Russia is that Russia is not lacking savings. Russia has a surplus overall. What's lacking in Russia is investment.
The IMF, in its regular review of its member states' economies, says Russia is now likely in a recession and expects growth will decline 3.4% this year. The report says Russia's economic woes are largely due to the dramatic drop in oil prices and the sanctions in response to developments in Crimea and Ukraine. Ernesto Ramirez-Rigo is IMF mission chief for Russia and oversaw this latest economic assessment.
So what is hurting the Russian economy more? Is it the low oil prices or is it the sanctions?
It's something very difficult to disentangle. The two shocks came almost at the same time. Obviously, oil is a major factor for Russia, is one of the largest producers of oil, one of the largest exporters of oil and gas, which is related to the prices of oil. Just to give you an idea, 70% of Russia's exports are energy-related, mostly oil, and nearly 50% of the government's revenues come from oil. So clearly, oil was a major issue. And then there is also, of course, the sanctions, which came in mostly after the summer of 2014. The way we look at it is essentially as two different shocks. One, oil to the income of the country, their national income, and the other one is a shock to the confidence of the population and the confidence by foreign investors and therefore into investment for the economy.
So what is the ongoing tensions with Ukraine, how does that play out in Russia's economy? Does it go beyond the sanction issue?
I mean, essentially, the most important component has been the sanctions. I mean, obviously, there are other linkages between Ukraine and Russia. They have a long history of trade relations between the two economies. But in terms of magnitude, so that you get a sense, exports of Russia to Ukraine, excluding gas, which is mainly through the pipeline to the rest of Europe, do not account for much more than 2 percentage points of Russia's GDP. Whereas Ukraine's trade with Russia is a very large component of Ukraine's GDP. So the main factor in these geopolitical tensions between Ukraine and Russia is the sanctions rather than the actual trade. But of course, there is one component related, which is for some heavy industries in Russia, which traditionally have relied on the trade for on some inputs from Ukraine, where there are also some intermediary producing industries which have been affected by the conflict, especially in the area of Donbas, where most of the tension exists.
And I assume it plays on the confidence, the overall confidence level.
Precisely.
Yeah. The report says that it's likely that Russia will be in recession this year, and with oil prices expected to remain fairly low, what will it take for Russia to put itself back on track?
Well, Russia was decelerating long before the oil price shock and before the sanctions. Essentially, they were basically suffering from negative population dynamics. It's a population that is aging, and how does an economy with this kind of demographics increase the pool of potential workers, which is together with capital the main components for potential? And at the same time, there is an issue of the level of investment and the rate at which it has been growing. What's very curious about Russia, and is quite different from some other economies, especially the large emerging market peers with which we normally compare Russia, is that Russia is not lacking savings. Russia is a country that has a surplus overall. What's lacking in Russia is investment. Now, they have the income, they have a very large market, and so the question is, why is investment being held back in this economy? And so they need to find solutions to solve these two main issues: how to lift investment, how to improve the demographics. Finally, of course, normalization of relations with all the countries that have imposed financial sanctions will have a major positive effect, at least to provide additional sources of financing for the economy to accelerate investment.
And is there any sign that the authorities are going to be able to turn this around anytime soon?
Of course, I think the authorities already took all the necessary steps to deal with the initial shocks. A positive side of all this is the weaker exchange rate, a more competitive exchange rate, which has been a drag in the past in terms of the non-energy tradable sectors. Now they have a floating exchange rate regime. The macroeconomic response that they put in place starting already in December, more importantly in January, was the adequate one. The central bank tightened monetary policy. They introduced a set of financial facilities for the banks that were restricted from having international markets access for financing. The fiscal government revised and put in place a budget for 2015 that was based on a lot more realistic set of assumptions, provided some stimulus. They have a bank recapitalization program. So all the short-term response was the appropriate one, and it has helped stabilize the situation. The biggest issue is what's this story for the medium term? And that's not really necessarily related to oil and sanctions, although sanctions obviously can have an additional negative effect on the prospects. I think that the large footprint of the government in the Russian economy could be a detriment, especially to the extent that it reduces competition, and it reduces maybe competition in sectors that today, with a more competitive exchange rate, could be beneficiaries of investment, but with all the elements that reduce competition might not be so attractive. That would be one area for the authorities to work on.
So improving the business environment.
It's basically about improving the business environment, increasing competition, providing more incentives for companies to enter and exit sooner and faster, more cheaply, certain sectors of the economy. And then there is the issue of the labor market. The authorities are working on some proposals for pension reform that would create a bigger incentive for people to work for longer periods of time. That is a step in the right direction. And of course, then there is all this discussion about the Eurasia Union, which creates labor mobility within former Soviet Union republics. That would also be a new pool of labor that would be helpful for Russia.
That was Ernesto Ramirez-Rigo, IMF Mission Chief for Russia, talking about the country's latest economic assessment. You can read the full report at imf.org. You can also listen to more podcasts like this one while you're there, or go to soundcloud.com/imf-podcasts.